Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. We are talking Packers football, and we are getting ready for the NFL draft. And to kick things off on our show, right away today, we have a guest. We have Paul Basir of PredictionMachine.com for some unique NFL draft analysis. Paul, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Thank you for joining us once again. Paul, you have a very unique ranking system of NFL draft prospects over at PredictionMachine.com. Can you tell us a little bit about what goes into your rankings and your projections?
Sure. It's 100% objective. And what we do at PredictionMachine.com is we simulate every game 50,000 times before it's actually played. That's the mantra of the website. But going into every professional season, I need to come up with some kind of inputs for rookies, look at what they did in college and translate that into the NFL. And so usually I'm doing that work in May after the draft. But for this year, we looked at it ahead of time and said, well, what if we placed every single one of these prospects on an NFL team for all 16 games, just an average NFL team, what would the numbers look like? And based on the productivity we're expecting out of each of those players, I've ranked every single one of the players. And there's that in combination with Matt Richner, an expert that we've got who has worked in some front offices, using the same kind of analytical, objective, statistical data, which includes what players did in the combine, but also, of course, what they did on the field throughout their college careers and against whom they did it, to come up with a mock draft, the top 100, and a couple different voices, but both of us trying to figure out, remove everything away from what scouts necessarily see and find the truth behind what these players should do given what they've done on the field in the past.
I do think it is really unique what you're doing, and I want to ask you about some players in specific that you have uniquely ranked that I don't see anywhere else. And let's start with Kendall Rias, a defensive lineman from the University of Connecticut, who you have ranked as your number one defensive tackle. Now, I think people like Kendall Rias, but nowhere else have I seen him ranked as the number one player at his position. What makes him so good?
Well, he checks the box when it comes to size, weight, combine numbers, all of those things. So we get that out of the way. We look at a 6'4", 295-pound defensive tackle that, especially in the Packers' case, could play any of the three interior positions pretty consistently. Mm-hmm. And you look at what he did in 2011 in itself, 25 tackles, 4.5 sacks, 13.5 tackles for loss. Maybe that doesn't sound like the greatest numbers overall, but his team only gave up 86 yards on the ground per game. And if you look at his per-play numbers, too, and how good that defense was and how consistent he's been a part of that UConn interior line making plays, it's pretty impressive what he's done. So it's not just especially when it comes to defensive tackles, it's not just the overall numbers they put together, and he's put together some great ones over now 49 college games, consistently proving to us and to the numbers that he could be an elite player, not just getting behind the line of scrimmage, but taking up blocks, getting sideline to sideline to a little good lateral movement there, and that comes through in the numbers. So it's the consistency, it's the productivity, it's the great team effort that we've seen, and he still checks all the boxes from a physical standpoint. And I think as a Packer fan, which I happen to be, but even if I'm not, I wasn't, but I'm looking at it objectively from that standpoint, I think Kendall Rias is a great target, especially in the first round. If you can get our number one overall defensive tackle at that point in a position of need because of what happened with the Packers pass rush after losing Kellen Jenkins last year, I think that could be a great player to pick up, and a guy who could still be around at that standpoint because a lot of other defensive tackles are getting some notoriety.
Yeah, it's interesting. I actually think personally that's going to be the Packers pick as well. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to be available at around 28. So, but anyway, on the other hand, now you have Memphis defensive tackle Dontari Poe ranked as your 26th defensive tackle. I've rarely seen Poe ranked low as 26 overall, regardless of position, let alone 26 at his own position. Why such a low ranking?
Yeah, I hesitate to call the guy a joke because he weighs 150 pounds more than me. He's still faster and obviously much stronger than I am. So physically, he might be there, but that's it. I mean, for one of the worst defenses in maybe college football history over the last couple of years, Poe barely did anything. I mean, the player needs to dominate at the Conference USA level, a la what Vinnie Curry maybe have done out of Marshall, in order for us to really be high on him. And so while 6'5", 350, who runs a sub-5.40, may be all the rage right now, he's got a couple plays on tape that look great, and of course we can see those in the numbers as well. He hasn't done enough, and his defense has not been good enough. We've got, yes, I think Poe could be an upgrade if you're looking for the Packers over a play like Ryan Pickett, given where Pickett is in his career. The size is there. I think the athleticism is there. But he's 26th in the rankings, as you mentioned, and probably the fourth best pure defensive nose tackle that we see overall. He just hasn't done enough. 21.5 tackles for loss may sound like a lot, but not over 35 games at Memphis. He hasn't gotten to the quarterback at all, which is scary when you think about what the defensive tackles have to do in the NFL these days. He may be able to pick up blocks, but I don't think you're wasting a tie first-round pickup or first-round draft choice on a player that may require double teams, but only because of his size, not because of what he can do once he gets behind the line of scrimmage.
Very interesting there to see somebody like that ranked that low, so I do think that's unique. Among your cornerbacks, Vanderbilt's Casey Hayward is ranked number one behind even Morris Claiborne. I see very few people rank Hayward as a first-round pick. So what makes him better than a guy like Claiborne and others?
Yeah, I should acknowledge first that I think there are six very good to potentially elite corners here. I don't think there's a Darrell Revis, but there might be six guys that could compete for the second-best cornerback in the NFL coming up here soon, and five of them are from the SEC. One of them is Morris Claiborne. Another one is Drake Kirkpatrick, but Stephon Gilmore, Brandon Boykin, and as you mentioned, Casey Hayward round out those five players that we see from the SEC that could be studs going forward. I like what Hayward has been able to do. Again, he's proven consistently over time he can do absolutely everything. 50 games, 198 tackles, 15 interceptions, 18 tackles for loss, 46 pass breakups. All of those numbers I just mentioned, I know those are career numbers, so he's got an edge over some guys who have played fewer games, such as Morris Claiborne, but still, all of those numbers, even on a per-game basis, would rank him in the top five. And that's everything you do as a cornerback. Now, we also look at, from a team standpoint, how many yards per pass you give up and yards per target for the corners, and Hayward grades out well there. He's got the size 5'11", 192. He's not quite as tall as Kirkpatrick or Gilmore, but he's bigger than Morris Claiborne, and a player that maybe Vanderbilt didn't get nearly as much attention as they probably should have, but a player who played on a very good defense in a very good conference recently. Hayward, from a playmaking standpoint, especially the guy who's ready to go in 2012, looks like the best overall cornerback in this draft. And another guy, if the Packers are targeting that position, which I think they could easily do and probably should do at some point here just to stock up on corners, he could be there, not only in the first round, but he might be there in the second round as well because the attention he's getting. The slow 40, I think, is holding him back. But the 40 time looks a lot like Joe Hayden. The numbers actually look even better than Joe Hayden, who was taken early 2 years ago and has blossomed into a very good corner in Cleveland recently.
It is interesting to hear analysis like this. It's fresh, you know. It's nobody else has Hayward that high, so it's great to hear that. As far as safeties go, it's not like you have Mark Barron ranked low, but you have him ranked number four behind guys like Harrison Smith of Notre Dame and a surprisingly high Winston Guy of Kentucky. Most analysts have Barron as their number one safety. What made you put him a little bit lower?
And I don't have a problem with that, actually. Even though he's fourth on our rankings, we're combining free safeties and strong safeties here. And Barron himself is a pure free safety. And because if you look at his numbers, he's got the highest interceptions. He's done well from when it comes to passes broken up. But he's not as much of a playmaker, and he wasn't needed to be at Alabama because that defense didn't let people to the second level quite as often. But Harrison Smith is a guy from Notre Dame who just leaps off the page at me in terms of his size, again, checking all the boxes from that standpoint, but making plays over 51 games in his career, also the same number that Mark Barron played. But when you look at that and you look at the fact that both played the same number of games and their defenses weren't that different despite the fact that we know Alabama's been great, Notre Dame hasn't been that bad, especially in the last couple of years, and Harrison Smith has been one of the main reasons for that. And they've played tough competition and tough schedule as well. So I think that Barron probably deserves to go in the first round. I think Winston Guy needs to get a lot more attention. You could see Harrison Smith and getting a lot of attention recently, Mark Martin Bolton, a third-ranked safety, go in the first round or early second as well. Mark Barron will probably go before any of those guys. I don't have a problem with that if you're looking for a guy who can make plays, who can be a true kind of rover or a free safety or the like. But he's not a guy that you can consistently expect to be good in the run coverage or come up into the box or even blitz the quarterback. He's been very, very average when it comes to that at Alabama. He hasn't needed to be very good, and I think that the rest of the team has hidden some of those inefficiencies in his game.
Over on the offensive side of the ball now, you have Michigan State wide receiver B.J. Cunningham surprisingly high as your fourth-rated receiver. I think a lot of people have Cunningham pegged as like a mid-round guy. Is it safe to say you think he should go a little earlier than that?
I don't know. I think mid-round means maybe third round to fifth round. I think that's probably where he is. But I think Kendall Wright's there as well, actually, in terms of our numbers, and he'll almost undoubtedly go higher than that. To me, it's a two-horse race for the best wide receivers. I think Blackman is clearly the best, Blackman's the best, but Floyd isn't that far behind him. Mike Flink of Floyd out of Notre Dame, another Notre Dame prospect who put up good numbers over a long career. Off-field issues are the concern there for Blackman. I think he's a little cleaner when it comes to that. But after those two, there's a pretty significant gap. And then in our numbers, Kendall Wright, B.J. Cunningham, another Big Ten product, Marvin McNutt, and then a great athlete who also has shown some flash, Stephen Hill. They're all almost perfectly together. They're all in a clump that we think should go from the third to fifth round or so. Cunningham, a guy who I knew as a Wisconsin fan who watched those games, I didn't love, but he was productive. I didn't realize how productive he had been over 51 games in his career. Again, the consistency showing in an offense that wasn't the best passing offense we've ever seen, but Kirk Cousins got him the ball. He was not only a safety valve, but a guy who could get downfield as well, score some points, and could extend the field. He does just about everything as a wide receiver. I could see him fulfilling a role as potentially a number two or even a slot receiver, given his size and his great hands and ability to catch the football and make plays.
To wrap up here, a little quarterback talk. We might be splitting hairs here, but I just noticed you had Robert Griffin ranked ahead of Andrew Luck. You know, what gave Griffin the edge? Was it the running ability, or what was it?
Well, it misnomered, I think, to some people. And, of course, he's run far more often. He's got the elite track talent there. Andrew Luck has actually averaged more yards per carry in his career than Robert Griffin, and they're both tremendous athletes. It actually ends up being the ability to throw the deep ball a little bit better. And even though Luck has been groomed for a pro-style offense, I think it's still going to take him longer. And this, again, independent of the team that they're going to be on, Griffin ends up slightly ahead of him because of his ability to, I think, more than get run the ball downfield to extend a play and to hit those deep passes. Plus, Luck struggled a little bit with interceptions in his senior season, and I wouldn't say he necessarily regressed. The interceptions can often be bad luck in this case, pun completely unintended there. But Griffin showed consistently throughout his career an ability to avoid those big mistakes. They both have a high completion percentage. They both grade out in terms of our expectations to throw for about 60% and over 7 yards per pass attempt. But it's the 21 interceptions, it's the set for Andrew Luck versus the 18 that we would expect out of Robert Griffin in a full 16-game season, and the 7.7 yards per attempt versus the 7.4 for Andrew Luck. To me, these are the two clear best players, maybe not best players on the board relative to their position because they've got each other. But if I'm drafting, if I'm starting a team, I'll start with Robert Griffin, but I'm not at all concerned if I end up with Andrew Luck right now either.
I don't imagine many would be. Paul, this was fun. I enjoyed it. I like I said, it's a fresh look, saying a little bit different. Are you on Twitter?
I am, at Predict Machine. Prediction Machine itself didn't quite fit, so at Predict Machine, I'm on Twitter.
Sounds good. I'll give you a follow. Hopefully our listeners will as well. And let's have you on again sometime.
Sounds good. And I can say this subjectively here. Go Packers.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Thanks.
Paul Basir of PredictionMachine.com joining us here on the show for some NFL draft talk. Like I said, fantastic analysis. Just different. Very different. You know, we've been hearing the same regurgitated stuff for months. If you're me, you know, I've been living the NFL draft ever since the Packers season ended in January. So it's been all drafts since that point. And, you know, to hear analysis like this is really interesting. I just find it fascinating. It really is to hear somebody say Kendall Rias is the number one defensive tackle overall, and a person who I believe is a legitimate target of the Green Bay Packers. You know, just stuff like that, that, you know, Mark Barron, the fourth ranked safety. And again, I mean, sometimes you're splitting hairs here and there's not a whole lot separating the number one from the number four safety, but just something different. You know, everybody's got Mark Barron as their number one safety out there. So to hear somebody say they had him a little different, they had him ranked a little lower, Casey Hayward of Vanderbilt, the number one cornerback. I mean, how great would it be if the Packers in round number two went with Casey Hayward, you know? You know, to somebody you had him ranked as their number one overall cornerback, a guy who could very well be there in round number two. You know, so, and again, another legitimate target, perhaps, of the Packers. So, I mean, it's all speculation at this point, and we'll see later. But again, a fresh view, and something very interesting and glad to have on the show here. So, how's it going, folks? Glad to have you joining us this morning. Really happy. It's finally draft week. You know, we are now, what, 3 days away? It's Monday, so Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday it begins. 3 days away. We got to wait till nighttime, though. 3.5 almost, so. But anyway. Yeah, I mean, this is the moment you've been waiting for. The Packers have 12 draft choices. Could be as many as 12 new Packers. Well, you know, by the time they get all the undrafted free agents done, we're going to have about 24 new members of the Packers. So always exciting to see who the Packers will bring in and hopefully make this a better team, hopefully make it a better defense. So, you know, that's what the Packers really, really need. But you know, that's what the focus of all this week is going to be. So, you know, we're talking NFL draft, and you know, I for the rest of the show today, I suppose I wanted to talk a little bit about how our draft is going over at Mock 4. If you follow on Twitter, the hashtag's Mock 4 over at mock1.net. A 7-round draft choice that we're representing the Packers in doing. And you know, I've had a ton of fun, and we're almost wrapped up. In fact, I'll be making our final 7th round compensatory selections probably as soon as this show is over. You know, this mock draft lasts, you know, about an entire week, probably a little more than a week actually, as we have 32 representatives representing every team in the NFL. Doing an entire mock draft, 7 rounds, so it's crazy, you know, to try to predict who the Packers would take it in the 7th round. But you know, we've already talked about it before earlier on the show, and you know, some of our picks we made, you know, especially in the high rounds. You know, in round one we went Dante Hightower of the University of Alabama. Round two we went Clemson defensive lineman Brandon Thompson, and then we went Cincinnati defensive lineman Derek Wolfe. I think we went through all those picks last Friday. So, you know, a lot of help on defense. And what's interesting, too, is I personally believe we went with the best player available and didn't even have to really stretch to get help on defense in those first couple rounds. You know, in my opinion, when these players came up, they were the best available players. They, you know, it's not like I was debating about drafting a running back or an offensive lineman or something like that. It just so happened that defensive players were available, and you know, hopefully, that's what will happen to the Packers too. I mean, with all the holes on defense, the needs on defense, that they could do that. You know, we'll find out. You know, some of the selections made since that time, since last Friday, that we made over the course of the weekend, and added talent to the team. Baylor center Phillip Blake. The Packers have a need at center. This is one pick I look back at and wonder, maybe did we take the wrong person? You know, we basically at the time we were looking like, man, we better grab a center. It's round four. Because by the time our next pick comes around, we might not have a chance to grab a center again, or at the 5th round at least. And so the guys available were Phillip Blake of Baylor, David Molk of Michigan, and Quentin Salisbury of Mississippi State. And we took Blake, and you know, he's a guy who functioned in a spread offense at Baylor, Robert Griffin's center. And that was appealing. The thing that, you know, was a little gives you a little hesitation is his age. I think he's 26 years old and going to be 27 by the time the season starts. And, you know, that's pretty old for a rookie. So, I mean, you're looking to get, you know, 4 or 5 years out of this guy. You know, that might be it. Centers can usually play, when they're a little bit older. So that helps. But, I mean, might he be too old by the time his rookie contract expires? Or might he be over the hill by then? You just don't know. So I wonder sometimes, maybe should we have taken David Molk of Michigan or Quentin Salisbury of Mississippi State? And, you know, hopefully, you know, certainly I think Ted Thompson and the rest of the Packers scouting department has done their research a whole lot better than I have on these guys. So hopefully they know who the right person to take is at center. Because I think it's a position that Packers probably should address at some point during the draft. And who knows, maybe somebody else in the later rounds, you know, Garth Gerhardt of Arizona State, Scott Wettage of Northern Illinois, late round guys, prospects who could be drafted. So maybe they're the answer. Maybe the Packers choose a guard, even, you know, a guy who's versatile, can play center and guard. Who knows? In the fourth round, with our compensatory draft choice selection, we took Temple running back Bernard Pierce. It's not a position of need, I thought, for the Packers. I never predicted or saw that they would be taking a running back in the draft early on, especially. I never really thought that was a need per se. But I sat there and I looked. I'm looking just at the best players available, and here's Bernard Pierce of Temple, and I've seen him compared a lot to Emmitt Smith, and I didn't take those comparisons lightly. When you can get an Emmitt Smith-like talent in the fourth round, I think you kind of jump at that, and that's what we did here. And you know, he's has an injury history, it's lengthy at Temple, and you know, he's a guy who is maybe more fit for a power running scheme. But again, I just don't think you pass up a Emmitt Smith-like talent. Not to say he's going to be Emmitt Smith, but could be good. And with our other compensatory selection back-to-back, we took LSU cornerback Ron Brooks. Intriguing guy, to say the least. He's a guy who was in a deep backfield at LSU, a deep secondary, you know, absolutely the most talented in the nation. You know, they got Morris Claiborne, who's going to be a top five NFL draft pick, okay, first of all. They've got the Honey Badger there, who was an Heisman Trophy finalist. Those are two corners. So he was behind two of the best cornerbacks in all of college football. You know, in the secondary, they had Brandon Taylor, who's going to be drafted here, and they have Eric Reed as well, who's going to be one of the best safeties in years to come. So deep position there, grouping at LSU. So Ron Brooks kind of was like their nickel guy, would come in on nickel downs, play the slot receivers, and he's really fast. Ron Brooks had one of the fastest 40 times at the NFL Combine, like the fifth fastest overall, regardless of position. So he's really fast. The downside is, and he's really tough too, regarded as a good tackler and playing that slot. So you kind of see a little bit of Charles Woodson in him, maybe, and has some experience playing safety as well. The downside is 5'10". We kind of took a chance on it, but I mean, Ted Thompson has never drafted a cornerback like less than 5'11", I believe, anybody in the secondary. So, I mean, we kind of went outside the box here. And I, you know, it's, I wonder sometimes too, maybe we made a mistake because, I mean, would Ted Thompson ever draft a 5'10 cornerback? He's never done it. Never done it so far. So, it would be going out on a limb perhaps a little bit. To go this and maybe, you know, the Packers took a guy like DJ Smith, a five, you know, between 5'10", 5'11", linebacker a year ago, but they took a chance on him in the sixth round. So, I mean, maybe it's a case of they're willing to take a chance, but maybe not in the fourth round, maybe later. We took Missouri outside linebacker Jaquy Smith in the fifth round. Guy I really like, actually. Kind of a unheralded type of guy who's not getting a whole lot of press. But he was a productive pass rush specialist. I mean, he wasn't just a pass rush specialist at Missouri. He might be that in the pros. He was productive. He played since his freshman year, got a lot of playing time. And I just think that, you know, he wasn't like put up these huge sack numbers, but he'd get like 5, 6, 7 a year consistently throughout his college career. And just a guy who's you know, has experience. And I think, you know, when you're looking at what you want in an outside linebacker, that's what the Packers need is a pass rusher. You know, Jaquy Smith is a guy I think the Packers could look at possibly during the draft. And perhaps even, I regretted it after the fact. I'm reading and finding out a lot more and actually have done a little bit of digging through some interviews as well that I've done a little firsthand reporting with. I almost regret with that. Instead of going with Jaquy Smith, maybe we should have gone with Nevada's Brett Roy, a really productive college defensive lineman who's going to play outside linebacker at the next level. Brett Roy, he played literally defensive tackle in college. But just his size, his measurables, his speed, his motor, he's admitted this in interviews that he's going, that 3-4 teams are looking at him at outside linebacker. And I really think that's the way the Packers could go. I really feel like more than almost any player in the draft, I feel that somebody the Packers may take a look at Brett Roy of Nevada and you know, a guy who will go in the mid rounds. So, just keep an ear open for that name. Remember that name, Brett Roy, when the draft is being conducted, this weekend, remember that name. You heard it here first. If the Packers happen to select him, what now? Watch, they won't select him at all. And I suppose it won't be terribly surprising if they don't. Rounding out our draft over at Mach1.net, we took Arkansas State safety Kelsey McCray. My partner, Zach Cruz, was really high on McCray. I think the Packers need help at strong safety. And I see a bunch of guys in the NFL draft who are kind of very indistinguishable for me. I see Kelsey McCray. I see Sean Richardson of Vanderbilt. I see Winston Guy of Kentucky, who Paul Basir was talking about earlier in the show. I see, what's the name I'm forgetting here? Matt Daniels of Duke, maybe even a Duke Iheanacho of San Jose State. All strong safeties. I see very little separating all of them. And it's a case of I hope the Packers have done more research than me, and they found out a guy who maybe sticks out among that group. But I think the Packers really could use some help at the strong safety position. Hopefully you get a good athlete. We took Kelsey McCray in the sixth round of our mock draft, and I think he could be certainly a target of the Packers. But among those names I just mentioned, it wouldn't surprise me at all to see the Packers take any one of them. In the seventh round, we took Northern Illinois quarterback Chandler Harnish. Finally addressed the quarterback position, a guy who could be Aaron Rodgers' backup this year, getting him late in the seventh round. So to get a guy who's going to back up Aaron Rodgers in the seventh round, perhaps. And again, maybe that's being a little optimistic. Maybe Graham Harrell will just run away with that job. But a guy who's got potential, at least, Chandler Harnish, and rounding it off with what we've done so far, Massachusetts H-back Emil Iguanagu. He's an H-back. I think he can play fullback, and I think it's a position that the Packers maybe address with John Kuhn being injured and coming back from injury, and perhaps if things are slow, maybe he's not ready, and the Packers need some help at the fullback position. and a guy, Emil Iguanagu, a guy who can also split out, play the slot, things like that. Very versatile and a good special teams player as well. So those are just some names to keep an eye on and guys we predicted to go to the Packers. And who am I, though? Exactly. So, it's for me, if I get one of these picks correct, if we get one of these picks we've done in Mach 1 correct, that would be a lot, to predict one player for the Packers who they will actually draft. Now, what will make me happy is I'd love for this to play out. We predicted five of them correct. I'd love for it to play out that way. But what will make me really happy is if these guys actually are drafted higher than what we selected them. That would show me perhaps maybe we have a little bit of an eye for talent, and that NFL teams are actually picking them higher than what we selected them at. So that's what would make me happy, as opposed to actually predicting who the Packers will take, because it's almost impossible. Almost impossible. I've been trying to put together a Packers-specific mock draft for several years now, going back to when I was at Railbird, the old railbirdcentral.com domain, and have gotten very few correct over the years. Very few. Actually predicted that the Packers would take Lawrence Guy a year ago, or the defensive lineman from Arizona State, still on their roster, except we predicted the Packers would take Lawrence Guy in like the fourth or the fifth round and didn't end up being selected till the seventh. So that shows you how much we know right there, to pick the correct guy, but be about three or four rounds off. So, but anyway, it's all in fun, and we're going to see a lot of this speculation finally come to fruition on Thursday here when the NFL draft finally gets underway. So I'm really excited to for that to happen and see what the Packers end up with, and I know everybody else as well. That's going to do it for today's show. Make sure to come back on Wednesday. Going to have an NFL draft prospect on the show with us. I can't tell you who it is right now. I still haven't confirmed it. I've talked to his representatives, but it's not etched in stone yet. It's in pencil right now. So I'll announce it on Twitter sometime throughout the week. But come back on Wednesday for the next episode of Railbird Central, the last episode of Railbird Central before the draft. And as usual, make sure to check in all week long as well for all of our coverage here at Cheesehead TV. But that's going to do it, folks. On behalf of Jamie Jorres, I'm Brian Kirvu. Thanks for joining us. Have a good week. Have a good Monday. We'll see you back here on Wednesday. Go Pack, go. And I leave you with a song called Nothing Too Fancy by Humphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone.